Greetings in the name of Christ to you all. I'm Reverend Joan Pell and I bring you a warm welcome today from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. I'm also the preacher today and we're going to think about what it means to be fishers of men and how following Jesus the Messiah is a difficult calling. I've called it On the Hook. We're also going to be featuring an interview with Elizabeth and David Wellborn as they talk about our new circuit-wide climate action focus. So may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each one of you. Amen. And will you join me with our call to worship? Your parts are on the screen in white. Jesus came as the Messiah, a suffering Messiah, not a conquering Messiah. We're called to follow Jesus. But following Jesus isn't easy. It will demand our dedication and our energy. It will change our whole lives. Come and learn of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we come seeking your wisdom and guidance. So let's begin with our opening song, number 317, as we think about who Jesus was and what he did. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and confess him King of glory now. Faithfully, he bore the cross. Let his will enfold you in its light and power.
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. 'Tis the Father's pleasure, we should call him Lord. Now from the beginning was the mighty Word. Humbled for a season to receive a name from the lips of sinners unto whom he came. Faithfully he bore it, spotless to the last, brought it back victorious when from death he passed. Bore it up triumphant with its human light, through all ranks of creatures to the central height, to the throne of Godhead, to the Father's breast, filled it with the glory of that perfect rest. In your hearts enthrone him, there let him subdue all that is not holy, all that is not true. Crown him as your captain in temptation's hour. Let his will enfold you in its light and this same Lord Jesus shall return again with his Father's glory, with his angel train. All the wreaths of empire meet upon his brow, and our hearts confess him King of glory now. And our hearts confess him King of glory now.
Let us come before God now in prayer. Loving God, you call us to turn away from our own selfish interests, to take up our cross and to follow you. As we come before you today, give us open hearts and open hands. Make us eager to hear your voice and seek your guidance. Forgive us when you call us to take up your cross and we carry nothing. When you call us to be your voices in this world and we stay silent. When you call us to be your hands in this world and we keep them hidden. Open our minds to your ever-present spirit that is always moving within and around us. Open our lives to your nudging and open our spirits to your love. Amen. And hear the good news. In the name of Christ, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Our scripture today is being read to us by Mona House, and Mona is a member of Landsea Road Methodist Church.
The gospel reading this morning comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and reading from verses 27 to 38. And it's Peter's declaration about Jesus. Then Jesus and his disciples went away to the villages near Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Tell me, who do people say that I am?" "Some say that you are John the Baptist," they answered. "Others say that you are Elijah, while others say that you are one of the prophets." "What about you?" he asked them. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Then Jesus ordered him, "Do not tell anyone about me." Then Jesus began to teach his disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He will be put to death, but 3 days later, he will rise to life." He made this very clear to them. So Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But Jesus turned round, looked at his disciples, and rebuked Peter. "Get away from me, Satan," he said. "Your thoughts don't come from God, but from man." Then Jesus called the crowd and his disciples to him. "If anyone wants to come with me," he told them, "he must forget self, carry his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his own life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. Does a person gain anything if he wins the whole world but loses his life? Of course not. There is nothing he can give to regain his life. If a person is ashamed of me and of my teaching in this godless and wicked day, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Amen.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus' first disciples were fishermen. And when Jesus called them to come and follow him, he told them that he would show them how to fish for people. Well, of course, they used nets on their boats and not rods with hooks, But the symbol of ourselves as fish on the end of God's hook has become one that is used in modern day Christianity. So what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus, to be fishers of men, ourselves, but to also be the ones that are on God's hook? Nowadays, we use the phrase on the hook as an idiom that means we're in a tight spot. What positions will we find ourselves in while we're on God's hook? There's an old fishing tale about a fisherman without a license who finds himself in a tight situation as he fishes in a river. "Have you had any luck?" asks a curious passerby. "Why, yes, I caught 40 pike out here yesterday," replies the fisherman. "So, do you know who I am?" asked the passerby. The fisherman replied that he did not. "Well, I am the Environmental Agency's fisheries officer." The angler, after a moment's thought, exclaimed, "Say, do you know who I am?" "No," the officer replied. Well, the angler said, "Well, I'm the biggest liar in the county." So in today's scripture, the disciples find themselves put on the spot as Jesus asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" Well, perhaps that first question's not so hard. The disciples have been with Jesus and he's taught and healed and performed miracles and explained the scriptures through parables. They've heard the word on the street, what the people are saying, and what folk are really thinking when Jesus is out of earshot. So the disciples tell him, "They're calling you John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah, and others are saying that you're a prophet." But Jesus doesn't leave it at that. He presses on and says, "What about you? Who do you say that I am? You're the ones who've been with me all the time. You know me better than anyone else. What do you think? Have you got it all figured out?" Well, I imagine that there was a bit of silence. And then Peter is brave enough to attempt an answer. "I think you're the Messiah, the promised one, the one who's going to liberate us and deliver us from the Romans." And Jesus responds by telling them not to tell anyone that answer. Why not? Well, the gospel author Mark does not tell us that, but Jesus goes on to tell them what being the Messiah is going to mean, that he's going to suffer. Oh, Peter's hit on the right title for Jesus. He's understood that much correctly. But Peter has the wrong understanding of that title, of what is going to happen. And Peter doesn't want to hear about a suffering Messiah. So he rebukes Jesus. Perhaps Jesus had told them to be quiet, because if they were to go out proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah, then like Peter, people would get the wrong idea and expect a conquering Messiah, not a suffering Messiah. And perhaps the crowds are even less ready than the disciples to hear a different message. Are we ready to hear that message? But then Jesus goes into even more detail. Being on the hook is not going to be easy. When a fish is caught, it's taken out of its comfort zone, out of its familiar environment, away from its normal way of living and thinking. Jesus said that if you want to follow him, then you have to deny yourself and pick up your cross. Self-denial here doesn't merely mean abstaining from the pleasures of life. It means continuing to make the decision that we will not be the masters of our own existence. Instead, Jesus and his mission will drive everything that we do. The cross is a symbol of our faith, but wearing it or placing it on the altar is not taking up the cross. Nor does it mean putting up with suffering of various sorts in our lives and calling it our cross to bear. The crucifix was an instrument of public torture and humiliation. Taking up the cross means taking on actions for the sake of the gospel that may lead to our own torture, public humiliation, and even execution. Followers of Jesus will walk intentionally into dangerous places, despite personal risk to themselves, to ensure that the work of God's kingdom is declared and embodied. John Wesley distinguished between bearing a cross and taking up a cross. We bear a cross when suffering is laid upon us that we did not choose. But in taking up a cross, we choose to suffer what we might have avoided. Taking up the cross is accepting the call to act with God's love in the world, whatever the cost. Jesus is clear in his call here. He does not say bear the cross. He says take up the cross. And is even more pointed than that. Those who want to be his disciples will take up the cross and follow him. Being on the hook puts us in a pretty tight spot, well out of our comfort zones. We take up the cross each time we take a stand for social justice, for the last and the lost and the least. When the Taliban took Afghanistan back at the end of August, the Methodist Connection immediately put out a list of possible actions for people in the pew to stand up and help the lost and the least. This included writing to your MP with key points to raise about refugees and how to offer help to Afghanistans that are resettling in the UK. And then just last week, we launched a new climate action focus for the circuit. And we have lots of resources about learning, speaking, acting, and inspiring hope. Some of these things are easy to do, and others will take courage and take us out of our comfort zones. As Christians, we should care for creation. And we're called to stand up for what we believe. Some Christians have decided that the best way for them is to participate in non-violent civil disobedience, to disrupt life and draw attention to the problems that are being ignored by governments and big business. Encouraged by Greta Thunberg, in May 2019, there was a school strike for the climate when schoolchildren from around the world walked out of their classes. And our own Methodist young people are taking a lead in the Methodist Church as we look at climate action across the whole connection. In November 2019, Reverend Joe Rand, a Methodist minister, was arrested and carried off of Lambeth Bridge by four police constables for willful obstruction of the highway during an Extinction Rebellion protest. And we've seen many more protests in London over recent weeks. Some of you will agree with this type of protest, and others may not. But for some Christians, this is what courage and carrying a cross looks like in 2021. There are other things that we can do that may need courage. Perhaps it's risking some of our hard-earned savings, divesting from companies that invest in oil and coal, and instead investing in companies working towards green goals, or start-up companies investing in new technology. Perhaps it's having the courage to speak up in spaces where it's easier to keep quiet. Perhaps it's a lot of little things that add up together to be sacrificial. We've lots of ideas on the climate action pages on our circuit website. We even have a climate tip for the day. When the disciples left their boats to follow Jesus, they didn't think that they'd signed up on a mission of suffering and cross-carrying. Like the first disciples, sometimes our faith is shaken, and we're led in a direction that we didn't expect to go. As Methodists, we have a heritage of personal and social holiness. The first Methodists under John Wesley were expected to carry out works of piety and works of mercy, and acts of compassion and acts of justice. There's Methodists standing up and speaking out on all sorts of issues: refugees, racism, gay rights, climate justice, and more. And as Christians, we're not all of one mind on these subjects either. But Jesus calls us to take up the cross and follow where we, each of us, hear him leading us. You each know Jesus. That's why you are here. What does it mean to you that Jesus is the Messiah? And as a fish on God's hook, plucked away from the familiar, how is your life being disrupted? And how are you responding? Where is God nudging you? Ultimately, we know Peter was right. Jesus was the Messiah, but not a conquering Messiah overcoming the Romans with force. Jesus taught us another way, a way of sacrificial love that leads to peace and to the kingdom of God. Taking up the cross means that we put Christ's mission first, and sometimes that's not an easy choice to make. Yet as we do so, we discover the good news of a deep joy that comes from making the loving choice. We find that true life and fulfillment comes through taking up the cross. As Jesus said, "If you want to become my followers, take up your cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will gain it. follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Thanks be to God. Amen. And our next song is number 518. Let's sing as we pray for strength to live our lives courageously. Father, hear the prayer we offer through endeavour, failure, and danger. Be there at our side. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, our Messiah, gentle and humble of heart, full of compassion and maker of peace, you lived in poverty and suffered persecution for the cause of justice. You showed us a faith that carries the cross, that embraces death, and lays itself down for the sake of others. You chose the cross as the path to glory, to show us the way of salvation and to resurrection with life renewed and overflowing. Give us the courage to share your love without counting the cost, and to take a stand for social justice, for the last and the lost and the least. May we take up the cross and find it leads to life. We pray for the circuit's climate action focus, that we might learn more in order to speak up, that we might challenge ourselves to take small and big actions, and that through us, others might find hope. We pray for the earth this week, especially for urgent action and understanding of the need to move to a net zero carbon economy, with a political resolve to drive the necessary policies backed by clear information and encouragement. From countries and companies and churches to families and individuals, help us each to do our part. In silence now, we pray for other situations and those we name in our hearts. with joy, we entrust our prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord, as we say together the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'd like to thank everybody who's participated in our worship service today, for reading the scripture, Mona Howes, for our music, Adrian Pell, together with Neil Hepplethwaite and Elizabeth Hepplethwaite. And it would be lovely to know that you are worshipping with us today. So there's a form above this video. Just type in your name and location and click on the red button. And now we need your help. The world needs your help. The climate crisis presents us with the most important agenda humanity has ever faced. It's a daunting challenge. We're called to be good stewards of God's creation. So listen now to this conversation with David and Elizabeth Wellborn as they talk about how and why the circuit is approaching climate action.
Welcome. This site is about inspiring hope for climate justice and the whole planet. The internet's full of people that are out for themselves and sites that are a bit dodgy. Why should I trust your site?
Well, we're not offering easy answers or what we think people want to hear. Securing the environment will have a cost that each one of us must be prepared to pay. As Christians, we're motivated by the outcome, not by profit or what we personally can gain from those actions.
There's lots of information out there, so how are you different?
Our aim is to make it personal by looking at the big picture and understanding what that means in our own local community. Bringing together local people makes it easier to build trust and confidence. Joining together in local action groups helps see tangible effects in our own communities, all of which adds up to global action.
But I'm just one person, so what can I do?
There's lots of things that anybody can do. Everybody can do something. It's just overwhelming sometimes to choose where to start. It can be lonely to do things on your own, difficult to see any effect, and far too easy to give in when it gets difficult. By bringing people together and supporting each other, we can celebrate the highs together and encourage each other when the going feels too hard.
And we hope you find this useful.
And since that was recorded, we now also have a climate tip of the day on the website. One tiny thing that you can do each day. So just go to the church website and click on the climate action picture. And there's also a theme for the next 9 weeks, one for each week, with lots of information for that week and things that you can do. And we have postcards with 9 weeks of prayers. If you've not yet received one, do ask your church stewards. And on Thursdays at Museum Street, I am leading a book study on a book called A Christian Guide to Environmental Issues by Martin and Margot Hodson. and all are welcome to come and attend at noon. Bring your own lunch. David Wellborn is also the preacher for the circuit video service next week, when you'll be able to hear the climate action sermon that he preached at the circuit service at Landseer Road on the 5th of September. It's a very powerful sermon. If you've heard it once already, it bears listening to again. And now I encourage you to support your local church. Let's offer ourselves now to God, our time, our talent, and our treasure. And as we do so, let's commit ourselves to the work of climate action. Please say our climate pledge with me. We believe in climate justice. We commit ourselves to listen and learn from stories around the world, to speak out and act for climate justice, and to be ambassadors of hope for creation's richness. Let us pray. Creator God, we give thanks for the whole of creation and everything we have. We return with joy a portion of our bounty, giving to the work of your church and your world. We bring what is already yours. Make good come from these gifts. Teach us to use what we have with wisdom and compassion. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 673, as we respond and give our answer to Jesus' call. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind? Will you risk the hostile stare? Will you set the prisoners free? Will you kiss the leper clean? Will you quell the fear inside? Will you take up your cross?
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Will you leave yourself behind if I but call your
now to take up your cross and follow Jesus. Go and be fishers of men, sharing the good news of our suffering Messiah and inviting others to follow him. And the blessing of God, who creates, redeems, and restores, be with each one of you, now and evermore. And all God's people say, Amen.